listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Have you checked out the big podcast with Shaq here at Podcast One? Yeah, we talk basketball, but we're a lot more than just sports.
I met this fabulous lady. She's had to be in her 70s, knew everything about me, knew everything about sports. And the last thing she says, I love your podcast. And
wow. I was like, thank you very much.
But I hate that John Kincaid.
Oh, no.
That's terrible.
Listen free to the big podcast with Shaq exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. If you love the show, share it with a friend and leave us a rating and review.
Yeah. Get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for listening to CarCast. We love talking about cars on this show. I'm Adam Kraltz and Matt, the moderator, DeAndre over there.
How are you?
Oh,
busy.
Good. I start off my. I've been too busy. I did one of those days. I start off the day by just kind of screwing up a door I was trying to swing and
at the new house.
Yeah,
which is looking good.
Rob got a bunch of subfloor adhesive when I told him don't get subfloor adhesive. He just bought a ton of subfloor adhesive. It's like it's a weird kind of life I have.
Yeah,
but. And then I kind of screwed up the rough framing, and the bottom of the door was kind of hitting the jam, and I was on the run. And then I don't know why, but whenever I'm most on the run, I somehow agree to do interviews where, like, I have these little windows where I'm like, I'm at the new house, I'm trying to get the door in, I'm running out of time, I'm supposed to call in to this guy's podcast. And everyone's asking questions, and I'm running out the door, and then I jump in the car, and then I call the guy's podcast, and they go like, "How's it doing?" And I go, "It's good, it's good, it's busy, it's good." And they go, "Yeah, busy's good." And I go, "Yeah, busy's good, it's good. I'm busy, I'm real busy. So I'm just kind of running from one thing to the next thing."
Already the pace is off. Like you're going a mile a minute. They're like, "Yeah."
And then they go, "Yeah, you got to be busy." And I go, sorry, you need to start the thing. Whatever you're doing, you have to do it because now
yeah.
I'm saying it for you because you have from the time I leave this house to the time I get to the studio, you have 13 minutes and you've yeah. used up 3 talking about how busy is good. And I would like you to have as much captured as you can for your podcast. So, I always sort of politely say, are you recording this now? And they go, no, we haven't gotten started yet. And I go, then you need to please get started.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get started because we're limited on time.
Get started.
Yeah.
All right.
Is the rain helping, hurting? Because most of what you're doing is on the inside of the house, so it's not, you can't really do paint or anything on the outside yet.
I have another issue with that that I'll make another note on. Castrol CarCast, by the way, brought to you by Castrol. We love them. And BetOnline, go to betonline.ag, enter Podcast One. Castrol Edge, we love them. Titanium Strong for maximum energy performance. And Geico, go to geico.com. There are drainage issues at the house I'm living in. There's a neighbor with a drainage issue. There's things to be whatever. And it's really why we should just be gay, because I can't outsource any of this stuff to Lynette because she doesn't do any of it. Or she'll just go, I don't know what was going on. And so I got to deal with the neighbor and the drainage and the thing and the whatever. I put a drain in. I tied into an existing sewer pipe. It's kind of interesting. Just cut into the slab, dropped it in, blah, blah, blah.
That's it. You can do that.
I can. I don't know about you. I can do anything I want. It's just there's not enough of me.
Yeah.
And there's way too many people asking questions, and I'm just sort of running. So I spent the beginning of the morning just sort of running, and then I had a called in between podcasts. I'd missed a call from James Baby Doll Dixon. Now, if my agent, James Baby Doll Dixon, calls me, there's a 70 to 80% chance he's going to say, I talked to so-and-so at Discovery Channel, something, something, money, 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 something. So I will call him back no matter how busy I am, because if you missed a call from James Baby Doll Dixon, you may have missed some money.
Right.
Or there may be some money out there.
He's not calling to say, how you doing, buddy?
We have that kind of relationship, but there is a, you will be, we do talk, and we do just talk about nothing all the time and that. But if you missed a call from him, you may have missed some money.
Yeah.
So I called back immediately, and he just proceeded to tell me how he hated this idea that somebody pitched him from my camp about me doing a TV show, and then went on to pitch me his TV show idea in slow motion. And what you just experienced in the hall was me going, yeah, okay, okay. Well, that, well, we'll talk about it in person then when I see you next week, or blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
me kind of going, all right, this isn't about this gig or availability dates or cash or checks or networks. This is just a super slow motion. I got an idea for a home improvement show. And so I was just giving him the, what you saw me doing in the hall was me attempting to respectfully move along.
Love it. Want to talk about it. Just
can't talk about it right now.
Not now.
He doesn't know about podcasting per se, so he never really. He's like, what are you so busy doing?
Yeah,
like,
he thinks I'm you're at home in your PJs.
Doing a whole bunch of podcasts, which I have to do every day. So there's that.
All right.
Yes, go ahead.
So it's kind of a weird thing. As you know, we sold the Alfa Romeo on Bring a Trailer. It did well. We got some fair price for it.
13 and change.
Yeah. And
13.3.
And a guy bought it, nice guy out of Texas. And I said, you know, I got a bunch of stuff fixed on it. The air worked, but I drove it for a few days and it stopped getting cold. So I'll fix it for you because I felt like it's part of the deal. So I took it to a place this morning, got up early, dropped it off there. And as I walked in there, they had a part in pieces, a blue Meteo Lamborghini Miura.
Uh-oh.
Which I just sent to Kaylin. And I was like, how'd our car get here? And then I was like, oh, it's not. It's not your car. And this is the few shots I saw of this. And you could kind of see the interior. There might be one picture. It's blue and tan interior.
Yeah, it has a blue dash and tan.
It's nicely done.
Is it an S? Oh, it looks like a P. It's a P.
It's a P. And the guy working on it was confused.
Right.
And then just randomly, I got a call from Alexander Weaver from RM this morning. We got cars going up at the auction. And he was calling me this morning. And I said, hey, I ran into a blue Meteo Miura. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's a P. I know that guy. I was like, of course you do. And I said,
of course he does. It looks very
Meteo
blue.
I was like, you know, it's all apart. I was like, you know, it's all apart. He's like, ooh, I don't think it's supposed to have that much work done on it. So anyway, this is a friend of his car. It looks a little lighter.
Well, they had a Tahitian blue or something that was
This is a blue Meteo.
It is blue Meteo.
Yeah. And now yours is special. We did a little something to it, right? And this is because it's funny because I went up on this and I was like, hey, this is blue Meteo with like a touch of metallic. So I asked Alexander, I was like, when was this painted?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, just a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then he
what
said,
was
oh,
the
I
original
think it's
color.
I don't
car.
Know. No, we didn't get that far into the conversation.
Hmm.
He was like, where's my paperwork?
But you know, he painted it blue Meteo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is and medium blue.
Yeah. And you're right. We know the P was done a couple of these, I believe, in this color. And yours is the only SV.
It's
a rare color.
Yeah. It's rare. And I didn't know how many P's or S's or what have you. But that's very interesting that you, and very small world, that you walked up on that. And was he getting air conditioning done? Is this an air conditioning place?
No, he's an Italian car place. He had an engine over there, and he had a couple of the cars. And
pretty rare for them to have air conditioning in that.
Yeah, but you see this pipe next to the car? That's the coolant pipe that runs front to back.
Are you telling me that?
No, I'm saying because that's the kind of issue he had.
Uh-huh.
Somebody, you know, because you know how it hangs low?
I know it's the coolant pipe,
and it's thin, like aluminum tubing, and all you got to do is just, like, hit a roach, and it'll puncture a hole or dent it.
Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous car, but, man, don't drive them.
Don't drive them.
Adam, how were you able to tell it was a P just by looking at the interior?
He can smell it in the photo.
What from
Yeah, you looked at this picture and went, is it an S or P? Oh, it's a P.
Yes. Well, first off, all right, is anyone, Max Spana?
Yeah.
I was a poor student, a bad student.
I know.
If you talk to anyone at North Hollywood High in the early 80s and you go, Adam Carolla, they'd go, nice guy, dumb as shit. Like the bad fucking student.
Like, good football player.
Good football player. Don't bet on that guy. He's dumb. He's not smart. He talks good, but he's not good. That's what they would say. So it's kind of weird. It's weird that I am who I am, but it was never my ability, my hypervigilance to notice things. There's not any difference on the interior of a P and an S and even an SV. They're very subtle little differences. From the angle of the picture we're looking at, you couldn't tell by the top of the dash or the seats or the stitching or the vents or the gated gear shift or any of that. The P do have crank-up windows versus electric windows, but you can't see the crank-up windows from where our vantage point is. So there's two things that are different about the P versus the S versus the SV. The P is the only one that had crank-up windows. So if you saw a door panel, you would see a slot and a crank. And the P is the only one that had a wooden wheel. The first year, they had a wooden wheel, and the second year, with the S and the SV, they went to a leather wrapped wheel. So there always is a chance that somebody has an S and put a different steering wheel on it, which happens all the time. I see people selling P400 2+2s with Islero wheels and stuff like modern, more modern or different,
right.
Or just, hey, I like a wood wheel, or I thought the wheel was cool, or it got switched a long time ago and nobody noticed it. But from this picture, you can see a portion of this wooden wheel, and when I saw the wooden wheel, I knew it was a P.
Yeah, and Alexander confirmed it on the phone. P.
That too.
Right.
Yeah, P.
Right.
And obviously no air in the dash.
Yeah, although I can't, well, none of them really, almost none of them have air or whatever in the dash, but so you wouldn't know by that. But listen, Max Pat, I appreciate you pointing that out. What I don't appreciate is everyone going, oh, yeah, no, I told you. No, you didn't listen. No, I said this. What did I just tell you your piece of shit sold for?
13.3.
Yeah. Right. Why? Because I obsess over Matt and his finances, or I love cars that are worth nothing. Or I
all of the above.
Or all the above. No, because you said it to me one time. You said the thing sold for 13.3, and that's what I now know.
Yeah.
What drives me nuts is when people go, no, I told you 13.7. And I go, you didn't, because I'm telling what you told me. It happens all the time. It happens where people go, you didn't notice, or I told you, or you whatever. I notice everything. I hear everything. I see everything. That's part of what I do. So if there's something that turns into he said, she said, and you don't remember it one way and I don't remember it another way, there's a very good chance I'm right. Otherwise, I wouldn't be arguing with you. Oh, also the headrest is different in the P, but you'd have to look hard in this picture to sort of see it. One has a plastic covering up on the thing, which would suggest there is a headrest. And the other, you can kind of see it off to the left. The headrest is different or non-existent in the other ones. But from this picture, I knew it was a P because it has a wooden steering wheel.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It was a nice car.
Thank you.
It's like, pretty cool.
Yeah, it was real clean. It was nicely done.
I don't like the all blue dash.
Yeah, and I didn't like all the painted wheels, the knockoff, the whole thing painted just like,
well,
like they put it on and just shot it all with a gun.
To be fair, with the Lamborghinis, some of them, and I think so, and then you have to make this decision. It's like when you see those guys that are going deep into the Mopar restoration and they go, hey, you'd see all the overspray of the body, then they're, you know, the rubber coating on the body. They would have oversprayed it onto the deck lid and whatever, oversprayed it into the whatever. And they go, and that's how they do it because they're doing a full restoration.
Yeah.
And in the factory, some guy smoking a cigarette and holding a beer would have, in 1973, would have oversprayed all that trunk liner shit under the trunk hood, deck lid or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how they did it. I think the argument that somebody would make for like painting the center hub and painting the knockoff and stuff, they would go, oh, that's how they did it.
Yeah.
Now, I would say get it plated, get it nickel plated, get the spinner nickel plated, put the sticker in the center, like whatever it is. I'd say that looks a lot better.
It looks better.
But a purist could say, well, that's how they did it.
Yeah, I wasn't saying it was wrong. I just said I didn't like it.
Okay. Sorry. Sorry for getting lectury. Let me tell you about betonline.ag. Now, that's something we both like. Holidays are upon us. Betonline.ag is in the giving spirit. Two incredible promos. Create a free account and use promo code PODCAST1 for a 50% sign-up bonus. And you can refer it to a friend and get 200% bonus to your friend. It gives your friend a 200% bonus. What a great gift. It's up to $200. NFL, NHL, NBA, college football, or basketball. Entertainment odds, early Oscar odds. Hell, we don't even know who's hosting yet.
Well, we do.
This year.
I know.
Do we?
Yeah.
Who?
Announced yesterday.
Oh.
Kevin Hart.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. I did not know that. I guess I won't be riding on it this year.
I'm pretty dialed into the entertainment world.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know why. I don't know why.
Well, it's funny because I saw Jimmy 2 days ago, and I don't think we had an answer yet, although I didn't.
I swear it happened yesterday afternoon. Yeah. Like, he tweeted it, and he's like, a dream of mine. I just got the official word. Boom.
And Jimmy sent a nice tweet to him, too, congratulating him.
Mm. He's like, whatever, shorty.
I heard they asked The Rock first. I don't know why you're laughing. Go online and use your mobile phone and sign up today and try live in-game betting. That's fun, too. Remember, promo code PODCAST1 for the 50% sign-up bonus and you get all your holiday shopping done early. And refer a friend with the promo, betonline.ag, your sports book experts.
Well, we should have bet on who was going to be host.
I know. I knew it wasn't going to be The Rock.
I laughed at The Rock because The Rock always makes fun of Kevin Hart because they're friends. And like The Rock had a baby like a couple months ago, and he took a picture of him holding the baby. Then he posted another one. It was the same picture, but with Kevin Hart's head on the baby. Like, he's always busted his chops.
Kevin Hart is a good actor, good comedic actor whose stand-up is confusing.
Yeah.
Confusing. If you listen to Kevin, if you just close your eyes and listen to Kevin Hart's stand-up specials, I don't even know I don't know where the jokes are.
No, it seems like there's a lot of Red Bull involved.
There is a lot of Red Bull.
He's got like a lot of energy. A
lot of energy. And he'll just go, my Uncle Stan, that boy's crazy. He's crazy.
We love his cadence.
I don't mean crazy. I mean crazy.
Yeah.
Stan come up to me and go, what you want to do? And I'll go, what you want to do? And he'll go, I don't know. And I'll go, I don't know. That boy's crazy. And I'll go, okay.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if there's a joke.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if there's a joke here.
I think that's a dig on mental illness.
Maybe. So you are driving an Aston Martin.
Yeah. Aston Martin, the new Vantage.
I haven't even seen it. What color is it?
It's what's the name of the color, Chris?
Lime Essence.
Yeah, it's terrible. It
looks
like
a think you could drive off with me holding the key fob?
I don't know. I got to put the key fob outside the car and see if it'll start.
Because I've done it. I've done it now, as I've, Max Patton knows. I did it with my Jag.
Yeah.
I left my keys in the door and drove off.
This is such an issue that on the 19th, when we're in here recording again, the Lincoln technical engineer is going to call in and tell you why everybody's key fobs are shit.
Really?
Yeah, no, I got the Lincoln guy on the phone to be like, tell us what's the issue with key fobs. I'm sure he has nice things to say about his new Aviator as well, but I was like, mostly I want to know about key fobs.
Interesting. It is a sad state of affairs, but I put my keys in my front door. I drove to the Anawalt lumber store. I got out of my car and realized I can no longer move my car. I can no longer. My keys are hanging from my front door. I hung them from the front door. I took off outside of the front. I took off out the garage and just basically locked myself out of my own car. It was awesome.
Yeah.
This color
is, they're going a little Lamborghini-ish and a little less understated, elegant, Aston Martin-ish. Like, mm-hmm. don't let this color make you angry, but picture this car with the carbon fiber and everything in a British racing green.
Yeah. I'm trying. I don't feel like they got the right color for that car.
There's a little video, you can hear it somewhere, I think, somewhere. It's not in that photo group, it's in another photo group. But so the reason why you want to hear it is because Aston Martin's like, 12-cylinder we got. Mm-hmm. 8-cylinder, forget about it. Let's just call Mercedes AMG, source one of those AMG turbo V8s, and that's what they're running now. At the end of this, you're going to hear a little fire up on this thing. That car's going to spin around for a second, and then toward the end when you see the back.
So AMG's doing the motor.
So AMG's doing the motor, but the partnership with Mercedes AMG also means they're like, hey, we're not so good with entertainment systems and the infotainment. Can we use yours as well? And they said, sure.
Mm-hmm.
So now it works.
Mm-hmm.
And the interior has kind of a...
Roadie.
Yeah, we'll throw a couple revs at it real quick. I turned it into sport mode.
All right, let's listen. Sounds good.
Yeah, so what they're saying on this car, it's 500 and something horsepower. It's a 4-liter V8 twin turbo. But now we've got a car that moves.
4-liter V8.
Yeah, it's 503 horsepower. That's 505 pound-feet of torque at 2,000 RPM. It's great low
end. You say 505 and 505?
503 horsepower, 505.
Okay. So it's right around 5 and 5. It's good. The 4 liter is a small displacement, so it must have a good red line. Must be up past 7, probably could be into 8.
Yeah, I believe it is. I don't recall, and it's not listed on my spec sheet, but they're making more of like a 911 fighter out of this, where the DB9 that you have and the DB11 that we drove with the 12-cylinder twin turbo, mm-hmm. still more of the GT car.
Mm-hmm.
This is front engine, but it's front mid. Basically, the pulleys...
Slid way back.
The pulleys on this car in the front of the engine line up with the front axle.
Right.
And then it has a rear transaxle, has an 8-speed paddle shift, but the transaxle lines up with the rear axle.
So they move the weight to the back.
Yeah. So we've got a car that's basically 50-50 weight ratio.
What's its sticker at?
About 150-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And, it could be 143. Maybe it's 153. Mm-hmm. 153 is the base price.
Mm-hmm.
The one we've got, it's got a couple of options on it, and it's got the carbon ceramic brakes. So I think this one comes in at about 183, 185.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's expensive for a 911 fighter, but I guess they're fighting some of the more expensive 911s, right?
Yeah.
And
it'd be turbo area, so it wouldn't be right. fast as turbo. Turbo's all-wheel drive. But this is an Aston Martin that does 0 to 60 in 3.4.
Yeah.
And a top speed of maybe 195.
Well, it kind of makes you ask the question, does everything need to be a 911 fighter? Can Aston Martin be Aston Martin? And I'm not saying they're not being Aston Martin, but what I'm kind of saying is Aston Martin traditionally has not been Ferrari or Porsche or whatever. You know,
right.
Porsche, obviously, if you look at their origins, Porsche's been super lightweight, super nimble, super everything. And Aston Martin has just been a different configuration and a different approach.
Yeah.
I mean, they started, you know, with the ones, the early ones, the one Carroll Shelby won, Le Mans, and whatever the hell that one is. That's a little different, but they, you know, by the time you got to the DB4s and the DB5s, mm-hmm. they got sort of big and soft and pillowy.
Yeah,
and
more GT cars. They were going for
big, long, straight six with a big displacement for six. And the idea was for a guy like James Bond to motor down the highway in luxury and style.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now,
I don't think he'd pick this color.
It was it would be great to, you know, outrun a Mustang on a mountain road,
yeah,
as well. But I don't know, like in a world, and you kind of you tell me what you think. I'll tease it. But in my world, I'm sort of like, I want Aston Martin. Like I don't want to go to Laurie's Prime Rib and have them offer up a veggie menu, like a vegetarian menu.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And going, well, you got to diversify. I mean, you got to have something for the vegans.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of like, no, you guys be Laurie's. As a matter of fact, if you ever go to Laurie's Prime Rib, the attraction is it hasn't changed in 81 years.
Yeah, they'd have to change the name to Laurie's and Stuff.
Yes, and if I bring my kids there, they got their choice between the Diamond Jim Brady cut and the San Francisco cut, but there is no hot dog on a stick.
Right.
They have what they have.
Yeah.
And they don't do the, well, we're going to update the outfits for the waitresses, or we're going to have some dudes as waitresses, or whatever. No, they just do what they do.
Yeah.
You know what you're getting, and that's why you go. So I'm just sort of wondering if Aston Martin is trying to compete with the 911s. I don't know. Like, I feel like I want it. If I want a 911, I'll get a 911. If I want a big GT cruiser, I'll get an Aston Martin.
Yeah.
You tell me. I'll tell you about Castrol Edge.
Okay.
I'll let you ruminate on that. I'll let you think about it. I'll let it emulsify
in
your brain. Simmer. Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown. They rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance of up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to get stronger under pressure. Helps fight friction, deliver maximum levels of performance for your car. It is 3 times stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. It's the best. It's Castrol Edge. Unlock the true performance in your car's engine today. So what do you think? Do you want Aston Martin? And I get it. Everyone wants to evolve and everyone wants to move ahead and everyone wants to brag. But in a weird way, I kind of miss, I don't want pea green Aston Martin or whatever this Dayglo green is. I want old Aston Martin.
The color choice is weird, but Aston Martin at some point made a decision. They said, all of that legacy and that history that you love, we're going to keep that with the DB11.
Mm-hmm.
But now we want to sell some cars, like Lamborghini does the Huracan, and they did the Gallardo, and they all want a piece of that. They want a piece of that sub $200,000, you know, mid 150s ish, 160s. Mm-hmm. They want a piece of that and say, can we sell 3 of these Vantages for every one DB11 that we sell?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say they're not going to come out with an SUV as well, because I'm pretty sure they are.
Oh, they are.
Yeah. And they still have the 4-door. So they're all, everybody's kind of getting into this now. And like Porsche's done it, Alfa Romeo, Maserati, they all have SUVs. And there's still talk about Ferrari doing an SUV. But I know we're kind of going off book here. But the point is if Ferrari can get into an SUV, can Aston Martin and Lamborghini do an entry-level car, a smaller car, a sports car, as opposed to a GT car, right? But don't get me wrong. The DB11 is a fantastic touring car, and it's everything that we love about the Aston Martin. Long nose, front engine, long hood.
Mm-hmm.
It's fast, but it's really more about hearing the sound at low speeds, hearing that 12-cylinder in sport mode and paddle shifting and getting it to backfire and cough and kick. And, you don't need to go fast in the DB11 for that thing to be a DB11.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, wherever we're at, we're living in a world where 400 or 500 horsepower, whether it be an Aston Martin or Mustang, is routine.
Oh, yeah.
We're living in a day where there's a million choices and none of them are bad. It just kind of becomes about personal tastes and what's in your checking account or your savings account. It's a pretty good time to be a car person. I mean, when is the last time, if you think about it, has there ever been a time in history in the automotive world where the stuff you breathed on, the stuff you hopped up, you souped up, so to speak, was not going to be nearly as quick or handle as well or stop as well or break as well or corner as well as a just bone stock fill in the blank Mustang.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it used to be you'd buy a Mustang in 1984 and then you'd bring it home and then you'd make it work right.
Yeah,
right?
We had an 89 Mustang convertible, my brother and I, and the 5 liter. We took the engine out, put in a full Ford Motorsport crate engine with a supercharger on it, and we made 400 horsepower.
Mm.
Now you can go buy the GT off a lot for 460. You buy a Bullet for 480 horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I'm fast forwarding to Sonny telling these stories. Whoa, back in the day, I was playing Fortnite, and I yelled at my nanny to bring me popcorn. That'll be his version of
she
you and your
up
brother.
In a Tesla.
You and your brother pulled out an engine and swapped it for a crate motor.
Yeah, we were like 16.
Jesus Christ, it's so.
We were trading parts. You know this whole game of trading up and the TV shows. Can you trade this and trade that and trade up? You know, we traded up to a set of used ported cylinder heads, aluminum cylinder heads, and. You know, we had something that, you know, we had some roller rockers and we traded it for something else, a little bit of cash.
It's such a weird thing. I can identify.
Traded for a nitrous kit and the nitrous kit for heads.
I remember when I had a BMX bike, I had like two Motomag wheels, but I didn't have the red line forks.
Yeah.
And so like at some point I had to trade a Motomag for red line forks,
right.
But now I had one Motomag and redline forks, but no front Moto Mag.
Yeah.
And I could remember this weird kind of bad Rubik's Cube of like going, all right, I'm going to trade the Moto Mag for the red lines. But now, of course, now, you know, everyone just hops on Amazon and gets Moto Mags and redline.
It's whatever you want.
Redline forks. Somebody tweeted me a picture, Max Pat, of me doing a cross up on my Moto Mag. BMX bike when I realize I'm the same age. I was the same age Sonny is now.
And I saw you comment on that.
I thought to myself, Jesus Christ, this is sad. So sad. And then I looked at my dirt lawn and I got sadder.
And then you got sadder in the house with two doors.
The thing that's funny about me doing my cross up in my on my Motomag BMX bike in my front lawn.
As high as a VW Bug.
The thing that's crazy about the picture is the bike's all steel and it's heavy as hell, number one. Number two, the ramp, I did not have the ability to build a takeoff ramp because my dad did not own a tool. So I couldn't take a piece of junked plywood and like cut it and put it together. I had to just like stack up wood. So there's like a plank that's 8 foot going right to left. That's got nothing. I only needed the width of it. I would have cut it. I would have shaped it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ironically, yeah. I could make myself a killer takeoff ramp now.
And remember when all of our gear was no gear at all, like jeans and a striped shirt from Bad News Bears, and the only helmet you had was all that hair on the top of your head flying through the air? Like, when did gear become gear?
I don't know. Like, when I was young, if you had elbow pads, that's because you're a professional hockey player.
Right.
Like, you didn't put on elbow pads to ride a BMX bike.
No, you're getting paid at that point. Right. Some sort of endorsement deal.
Yes.
You know?
I want to talk about this Rivian R1T electric truck, pickup truck. You went and saw it?
I did. I'm going to tell you about that. First, I'll tell you about Geico.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off dry cleaning, you pick up some milk, and now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list. You don't have to pick up or drop off anything. You just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Check out geico.com.
Yeah, we love Geico. Yeah.
So
A couple of
smart, like, I don't know, MIT kids were like, hey, we can design a truck.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're looking at a picture of it. It looks kind of like when Ford does concept stuff and they do like, here's what the Ranger's going to look like in 2020. And they always kind of do a cooler, smoother kind of version. It's very Ford concept truck. And then whatever they roll off doesn't look like that. But
they had this here. This
it's got a bit of a ridgeline kind of base to it.
Yeah. And they had an SUV version in green. Because it's electric, you can do stuff you can't do in a truck. Behind the rear door in the fender, you see it looks like it's cut out, right? It looks like there's something there. That's a door, and it'll go all the way through the truck. So if you open it on that side and the other side, you can see right through the truck.
Uh-huh.
You can put skis through there. You can hide in there. You can play hide and seek. You can run through there.
It's
cool.
I'm looking at a 0-60 in the threes and a 400-mile charge. Again, is this Elon Musk telling us that his new Roadster goes 250 miles an hour, but it'll never go 250 miles an hour ever?
What they said was they're going to have three sizes of batteries, similar to what you've seen in the Teslas.
Right.
And they're going to be like a 240 and a 300 and a 400 range. And
it looks super cool.
The smallest battery is like 0-60 in the fives, 5.3, 5 whatever. Still fast, but in the
it's
fives.
A pickup truck, yeah.
And then the fast one's like 3.9 or 3.6 or something like that. They say it'll tow 11,000 pounds, but then everybody standing in the booth is like, 11,000 pounds for how far?
Right.
Now when you're towing 11,000 pounds, how do you get 400-mile range, right?
Right.
So everybody's got a lot of questions about it, but it was popular. And from what I understand is they're a startup company. They developed these prototypes with something like $500 million in venture capital money and investments and stuff, which to any other industry in the world, that's a lot of money. But Tesla burns through that like weekly, it seems like.
Right.
It's very difficult to start and build a legit car company.
Sure.
So, but they seem to get a lot of attention at this place at the auto show.
Look, the truck looks good. That's number one. And it sounds good. And the question is sort of the price point.
Everybody's excited about it. Journalists, everybody's excited about it. They're like, this is a cool idea. We really hope it goes through. We'd love to see somebody do this. And I people in the industry, people that come in here and talk about this all the time, you realize that, we did a show yesterday. We did a show earlier this week with Goldberg. We had Alistair Weaver from Edmunds call in. He's driving across the country in a RAV4, a new RAV4. And I said, why? And he said, because it's the best-selling vehicle in the United States other than a pickup truck. So it's now more than Camry and Accord and whatever. Mm-hmm. And he goes, so now we need to test it for the people. And they're going to hit 48 contiguous states. They're going to stop and whatever. Mm-hmm. And he said, but they sell, 400,000 or 500,000, 500,000-something of these things. He goes, but once you start jumping into the full-size truck market, what we consider a full-size truck, but an F-150 is a light-duty truck. Now you're into 800,000-900,000 sales, maybe 1 million sales. So if you're going to start a startup electric car company or electric vehicle company, why not go after that market? Go after something you can sell to fleets and workers and luxury and whatever, and do a really nice leathered up, nicely $90,000 truck, and then offer the $60,000, smaller battery vinyl seats version.
I agree.
Right.
The future is bright for electric, and
every car company has to have some sort of SUV or crossover, because that's what Americans are buying. For one reason or another, that's what they're buying. We had this conversation about Genesis. Genesis is the luxury arm of Hyundai now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And their cars are nice. Nice enough that I got in one and I was like, this is gorgeous inside, so we're going to try to get one or two over here to drive, and everybody agreed. But then Edmunds was like, yeah, but they need to come out with an SUV, and they're working on it, because that's how they're going to sell vehicles.
I like Genesis because whenever I get into an argument with Lynette and she goes, I don't care about money, okay? I go, okay, but when I wanted you to buy the Hyundai Genesis for $28,000 cheaper than the Audi A7, you said, I like the Audi.
Yeah, I like the Audi. Yeah.
Maybe you don't care about money, but you do care about the stuff that money buys.
To be fair, I think you could have picked up a G70 and I could have put an Audi logo
badge on
the front,
it.
And we would have crushed it. We would have nailed it.
I already got the scheme where I'm topping off the veggie wash with tap water. So that's how I'm slowly saving a fortune in veggie
wash.
Wow,
you'd be a good bar owner.
Yeah.
Just a little water, just a little refill across the board.
All right. Let's see. Want to get some Corolla Racing merch? I'm wearing the hat right now.
I like the hat. I like the
design. It's good looking, right?
Corolla Racing stuff.
You can order by December 10th, and you'll get the gifts on time for Christmas. Lots of, we got shirts, we got hats, we got jackets that I'm going to sign. So check that out. Go to CorollaRacing.com. Good looking
stuff
there.
Can I tell you, can I give you an update on Uppity? What's going on? I know we're still talking to the network and trying to do your deal and all that, but Nate came by and he's like, look, here's the deal. Everybody that pre-ordered this, we apologize that things are getting delayed because of this contract negotiation that's happening, but Nate promises that whatever deal happens, wherever the movie comes out, everybody that pre-ordered is going to get it first. They're going to get it in advance. So he's going to ship those things out ahead of time so everyone will get it. But I know he's running a deal up there for 15% off your entire holiday order when you use promo code ChassisGift2018. So if you did buy something like the Indian Wrecking Crew that Jay Leno narrated,
sure.
If you like that, or the Newman film, they're good gifts.
Yeah, I agree, especially, well, if you're for the car person in your life. All right, listen to Shift and Steer as well on Podcast One, and say hi over at Chassis, and say hi to me, to Adam Ray over at Flappers in Burbank coming up December 18th. And like that there, and until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.